This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman reporting from Washington, D.C. at the USDA Ag Outlook Forum, along with Don Wick and Randy Conan in the studio. And we'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. Reports from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum are brought to you by Minnesota Corn Growers, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and North Dakota Corn Growers. Well, amid growing uncertainty in the ag sector, Senator Tina Smith is pushing for solutions to stabilize farm communities, warning that delays in the farm bill, staffing shortages at USDA, and trade policy missteps could have long-term consequences. I had a chance to speak with Senator Smith in her office yesterday. She talked about the concerns voiced by farmers across this country.
And I was really struck by the level of concern that I heard from the voices of those folks, whether you are a specialty crop producer, grow row crops, or whether it's pork or turkey or sugar beets, you know, there is so much uncertainty.
Smith also expressed frustration over discussions that Doge, Elon Musk's organization, could interfere with the checkoff programs.
I don't get any feeling that Doge, Elon Musk, and those young kids that are trailing around in all of our databases actually have any idea how anything in the federal government works. And take something like the checkoff program, which is so important to producers who are wanting to, you know, make sure that we've got good access to markets and we're doing good market promotion. It could have a terrible impact. And that's what that kind of really, that's actually kind of makes me mad, that people who don't really know what they're doing are in there mucking around in things that just they should stay out of.
Smith also criticized the House passed budget proposal, which includes significant tax cuts, but raises concerns about its potential impact on rural communities.
I want to be clear. I'm in favor of lower taxes. I'm in favor of tax breaks for regular people. I don't really think that the billionaires of this world need bigger tax cuts. Question is, how are you going to pay for it? And what we see in the initial plans that they put out is the only way that they can really pay for it is by cutting health insurance, especially, you know, Medicaid. Now, Medicaid is the way that roughly half of the babies in this country are insured, and their moms are insured when those babies are born. It is a very important way for people to get health care. So I have a lot of concerns about it. There's a lot of work that has to get done in order to flesh out what those ideas are, but it does not look to me like it's going to be anything that would help rural communities. If anything, I think it would hurt rural communities.
Reports from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum, brought to you by Minnesota Corn Growers, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Corn Growers. I'm Jamie Dickerman reporting from Washington. With more news, here's Don Wick.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins announcing a $1 billion comprehensive strategy to curb highly pathogenic avian influenza, protect the poultry industry, and lower egg prices. At the Senate Ag Committee hearing yesterday, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar welcomed the new strategy, calling it a priority issue she raised with the secretary.
It was the number one thing I raised with her, and we look forward to reviewing it, and I'm sure we'll always have suggestions. We must follow the science to build on the existing national testing strategies and support for farmers, engaging with experts to develop new prevention and response methods and a thoughtful vaccine strategy.
Klobuchar also spoke about the importance of keeping nonpartisan experts in federal government.
Veterinarians, animal disease researchers, frontline animal disease responders. My colleagues and I, of course, have pressed when some of these people were laid off. I understand some of them are being rehired, but we just can't mess around with this right now. We must make sure that the USDA has the resources available to respond to this outbreak.
At the 2025 NASDA Winter Policy Conference, members updated policy to support a plan for detecting and controlling highly pathogenic avian influenza. NASDA CEO Ted McKinney backed Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins' approach.
We were encouraged by the level of support we heard from the Secretary this morning on addressing this bird flu issue. I mean, the level of federal support was welcomed and astounding. So there was no indication said, you the states, you must pick this up. And we're thrilled with that.
NASDA also passed two action items, one urging a national vaccine strategy led by USDA's APHIS with industry coordination, another pushing Congress to support USDA APHIS compensation for foreign animal disease outbreaks. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. National Turkey Federation President John Zimmerman, who farms at Northfield, Minnesota, acknowledged the new USDA avian influenza strategy during his testimony before the Senate Ag Committee yesterday.
We appreciate the urgent attention, but after a brief overview, it seems only to cover the egg laying industry. As I have stated in my testimony, the turkey industry has been devastated by HPAI, and we ask that any plan also address the urgent needs of the turkey industry.
In addition to highly pathogenic avian influenza, Zimmerman said the turkey industry is facing losses from another disease called avian metapneumovirus. Zimmerman said more must be done.
We're beyond biosecurity. We've done as much as we can. Some of our most strict biosecure facilities are still contracting AMPV and HPAI, so we need to look at new tools for our toolbox, and the primary tool we have to look at is vaccination.
In testimony before the Senate Ag Committee, National Pork Producers Council President Lori Stevermer said American agriculture is being put at risk by California's Proposition 12.
Which has increased farmers' operating cost, created business uncertainty, and raised pork prices at the grocery store. As you know, this law reaches far beyond California to include farmers in other states and even other countries. The outcome of Prop 12 defies common sense and create a patchwork of differing state regulations if Congress doesn't act. Prop 12, opposed by both President Trump and President Biden, is harming small and medium family farmers the most. We have followed the processes in place to address this issue, and we are before you because the Supreme Court has said it is a matter for Congress to take up.
Stevermer, who farms in southern Minnesota, also cited the threat of foreign animal diseases, trade issues, and labor challenges.
USDA will update its 2025 acreage estimate when its agricultural outlook forum begins this morning in Washington, D.C. Higher corn and wheat acreage and lower soybean and cotton acreage expected. The average trade guess is for corn acreage to total 93.6 million acres, up from just under 91 million in 2024. The market looking for soybean acreage to come in at 84.4 million, down from more than 87 million last year. The average trade estimate calls for a smaller bump in the wheat acreage.
Grain markets faded yesterday ahead of the Ag Outlook Forum. Van Onn & Company analyst Christy Van Onn says USDA's acreage number will be just one factor.
And I think everyone is very scared around the market on what kind of corn acre number we could see. Now, this is not an official number, so it is what it is, but it does get the market a little bit moving if they're unhappy with the number. So I think people are a little bit skittish coming into that.
And tariff concerns, another uncertainty.
I do think that you're starting to hear the ramp up of the tariff talks once again, because we need to remember they were pushed back a month. It does sound like sides are willing to work together on something, but they are still on the table. And you have to wonder how long will President Trump be willing to push them back without some hard changes. So we'll watch for that. Overall, you know, really for the most part, we're just waiting to see what this corn market can do.
House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig is voicing concern over the impact of trade wars on American farmers, warning that new tariffs could have severe consequences for the ag community.
No one wins in a trade war. I'm worried about it. And look, I think there are a whole lot of people in this town right now saying, and out in farm country too, people who support President Trump and the administration who say, you know, we hope it's a lot of bluster. We hope that it's threats that give us negotiating and leverage and positions. But, you know, I had the Canadian Minister of Ag in my office yesterday, and I'm here to tell you there will be retaliatory tariffs if we move through with the across-the-board 25% tariffs with Canada and Mexico. And those retaliatory tariffs are going to be devastating to the ag community that I love so much.
Craig also raised alarm about DOJA's increases access to government systems, including the checkoff programs.
And, you know, I certainly don't like the idea of an unelected bureaucrat being in charge of accessing sensitive information to any segment of government. And so, you know, I would share those concerns. Again, you know, for me, this is not about you know, politics of, you know, this is a new administration and it's not my party. It's just, you know, some of what they're doing is just plain wrong. And we have a lot of incompetent people making decisions right now. And, you know, we need people who know what they're doing at USDA.
Once again, USDA's Ag Outlook Forum today and tomorrow in D.C. Red River Farm Network is there. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Just got a note from Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman at the USDA Ag Outlook Forum. Ag Outlook, USDA forecasting a modest rise in planted acreage for this coming year for corn, wheat, and soybeans, totaling 225 million acres, up less than 1% from last year. Corn expected to see the largest gain at 94 million acres. Wheat acreage also increases slightly. Soybeans projected to be lower. Farm prices for all three crops expected to dip. Corn at $4.20 a bushel, soybeans at $10, and $5.50 for wheat. Lower production costs may help offset the weaker prices. Updated projections will be released in the May 12 WASD report.
A pair of bills are moving through the North Dakota legislature for value-added milk and potato processing in the state. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Senate Bill 2342 is sponsored by Senator Paul Thomas, who says the focus is on supporting value-added agriculture projects in the state.
I think they lay a really important, or continue upon an important change that we've initiated last session with value-added agriculture products in the state. Last session we had a lot of debate and ended up deciding to allocate $125 million to a proposed fertilizer plant if it would be built in North Dakota once it was fully operational. And at the $125 million level, it would have had to been about a $2.5 to $3 billion project. And what we said as a state is, if you build it and you're producing fertilizer, we'll give you the $125 million for doing that.
Both Senate Bill 2342 and House Bill 1332 look to incentivize the building of value-added agriculture in North Dakota.
What we're doing with both of these potato processing plant as well as the milk processing plant is putting an incentive out there and say, you know, this is a need we have in this state. This is an opportunity. And if you're willing to build a plant to this scale, we're willing to contribute in that cost of doing that. But we're only going to do that once it's actually built and ready to go.
Though there is little demand for milk processing in the state right now, Thomas hopes that bills such as these can help incentivize the industry to continue to grow.
We don't have specific interest in dairy processing right now, but we do know that there is announcements of, you know, some larger dairies that are interested in building in North Dakota, and, you know, with the increased cows and increased milk production, you know, we hope to incentivize the processing industry to be expanded along with those cows and be able to capture the value added that would come from that.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat down 1.5 for the May contract, 616.25. Chicago wheat for May down 6.25. Hard red winter wheat May down 5.25. We're a half penny higher for May corn, 494. New crop down 3/4. May soybeans 8.25 higher, 1049.75. Have yourself a great Thursday. This is the Red River Farm Network.